We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com. The game.
It's JR here with you on 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Sports Radio. Oh, yeah, we got some folks who are, that's how they're going to spend their Easter tonight. They're going to be in front of that television, HBO and Game of Thrones. I guess that's a cool way to close out Easter. Let that food settle in your stomach. Maybe the family who came over to visit, maybe they left and didn't take all the leftovers with them, and you could sit down and watch Game of Thrones. I know a lot of people are excited about that. There's no doubt about it. I'm JR. You can talk to me at 929TheGame on Twitter and Instagram. Also at JR Sport Brief. Something else that everybody's excited about. Getting ready to go down starting on Thursday. I'll be at Mercedes-Benz Stadium for the big old draft party. It's the NFL draft, okay? It's time to see who the Falcons select to get back into the playoffs, to get back into contention. We all know the story from last year, 7-9. Injuries, offensive side of the ball, defensive side of the ball. How can they come back and actually pick up some W's this season? How can they do this sustain? How can they sustain this into the future? And a lot of it's going to start with the draft. You know, we look at some of the players that the Falcons have picked up recently. They've been in the league. They're veterans. They're not superstars. Some of them have even been rotational players. I mean, let's go ahead and look at the offensive line. You got Jamon Brown, who's basically, you know, dropped like a sack of potatoes to the New York Giants, and he goes to the Giants last season, and he helps them solidify their offensive line. You know, he helped keep Eli Manning upright. You look at someone like James Carpenter, who the Falcons just added to the offensive line, and you say, okay, James played for the New York Jets. He may not, you know, be the best guy in pass protection, but he's certainly going to be able to help with the run, and he's someone who's a veteran. And then you look at what they've done on the defensive side of the ball. We know what we have there in the middle with Grady Jarrett. We know what he's going to bring. You have Tack McKinley. You do have a big question mark in Vic Beasley. You don't know whether or not he's going to decide to wake up and develop another pass rush move and say, okay, I'm back to, you know, double-digit sacks. I'm back to being the guy I was a few years ago when I led the NFL in sacks. And then they also pick up someone like Tyler Davidson, who was a three-year starter on New Orleans Saints, and now he comes here to Atlanta, and there's a question mark. Okay. Are you going to be more than a rotational player? So the Falcons have some question marks. And when we think about what occurred last season with the injuries, I'm going to make a prediction and say the offensive line and the offense will be okay this coming season. We know what Thomas Dimitroff and Mr. Blank have invested into Matt Ryan. He's about to be a 34-year-old quarterback. He's still one of the best quarterbacks in the game. He's been to a Super Bowl. You give him a five-year extension starting last year, $30 million per year. You want to make sure your investment pays off. You don't want, you know, Matt Ryan living the cockroach life on his back. You don't want to see this man on his back while the offensive linemen are all standing around, looking around, trying to figure out whose fault it was. We get that. But I'm going to show some type of confidence in the fact that this offensive line right now has vets. You know, it has a Pro Bowler in Jake Matthews. It does have a James Carpenter who's come in, a Jamon Brown who's been added, and Alex Mack right there at center. Okay, you want to try and figure out what happens at right tackle with Ty Sambrail. Okay, there can be some improvement there. But at the end of the day, the Falcons offense, despite the injuries to someone like Devontae Freeman. We saw what happened when Coleman picked things up, when Ito Smith picked things up. This year, you're going to have a healthy Devontae Freeman. You're going to have an Ito Smith. Tevin Coleman is gone now. The offense was not the problem last year for the Falcons, despite all of their injuries. If you're going to go ahead and select anybody in the draft for the Falcons this year, in that 14th slot on Thursday, you're going to have to go defense, okay? Last year, the team, all throughout the season, despite their injuries, they were 10th in points, 26 points per game. I don't care how you went about spreading it out throughout the season, they put up points. They were in the top third, all right? I don't care what you look at in regards to yards. They were able to pick up yards. They were sixth, 390 yards per game. The Falcons were able to score. If you go ahead and you take a healthy squad, a healthy offense into this upcoming season, I'm going to expect them to put points on the board. Ryan, Ridley, Julio Jones, Freeman, Ito. We don't know who else they're going to add onto the squad later on in the draft on the offensive side of the ball. But when you look at the defense, I don't have all the faith in the world that Keanu Neal is going to come back completely healthy. I don't have all the hope in the world that Rico Allen is going to come back completely healthy from blowing out an Achilles. You got Rico, who dealt with an Achilles last year. Keanu, who had to deal with a torn ACL. I don't expect them to be back at full strength right out of the box. You know, chasing around NFL wide receivers and even playing at the line of scrimmage, those aren't easy things to do. And then you also had Deion Jones, who was able to come back last year. But there's a few things that the Falcons need help on. They need to work the pass rush, because the cornerbacks is a major issue. Isaiah Oliver, he was thrust into big-time position last year. He's only 22 years old. You go ahead and look at Trufant. Sometimes he looked like a traffic cone. You just basically go right around him for what he's being paid. He hasn't been someone that was standing out in his position. And it's a catch-22 when you're talking about the Falcons' defense, because whoever you select with that 14th pick, you're probably going to hope, whether you go defensive line, you're going to hope you can get a good cornerback later on in the draft, maybe the next selection. If you go ahead and choose a cornerback, whether it's DeAndre Baker from the Dogs, whether it's Greedy Williams from LSU, you're going to hope that you can get some help on a defensive line. But if there's one thing that we know this season in regards to the draft, the defensive options run deep. I don't care if you're going to Alabama and you're getting Quinnen Williams. I don't care if you get lucky and Ed Oliver is still there in that 14th spot. Even if you go a little bit later, Dexter Lawrence, who was playing for Clemson, there's an opportunity that he will still be on the board. There is a nice pool of defensive players that the Falcons can select at that 14th slot that will help put pressure on the opposing quarterback, where the Falcons don't have to hope and pray that a ball in the air is going to be defended by Trufant or Mr. Oliver. And we know what we have with some of the cornerbacks in the draft. We can easily talk about DeAndre Baker, who hasn't given up a touchdown in seemingly 2 years. But people in the draft say, oh, is DeAndre a little too cocky of a cornerback? Is he too slow? Is he a little bit of an attitude problem? I mean, I've certainly seen some interviews by Mr. Baker. He's like, hey, I'm the best one in the draft. Is that cocky? Is that confident? Is that overconfident? And then you look at someone like Greedy Williams, who everyone says, okay, he has the physical gifts of like Antonio Cromartie. He has the size, but, you know, he has a little Neon Deion in him in that he doesn't want to tackle anybody. Maybe he's saying, hey, I'm going to defend him. I'm not going to need to necessarily tackle anybody. So the Falcons do have a catch-22 in how they want to go ahead and build in the draft. You can't ignore someone like Jonah Williams. He'll probably be going at 14 from Alabama by the time the Falcons have a choice and an option to go ahead and get alignment. So I know there are plenty of people out there. I'm not ignoring the fact that the Falcons do need some solidified help. But I'm not mad at the depth that they've put on the offensive side of the ball when it comes down to the line. But I do think the defense, if you do have a choice, if you do have an option, it is something that you really have to go forth and fill in. And Thomas Dimitroff earlier this week, he personally had some comments as to how the team go ahead and builds in the draft. There was no doubt about it. This is something that they've done in the past. When you think they need to go ahead and get a player, they go the opposite direction. It's going to be the same case on Thursday. I'm saying right now that they need to get somebody on the line. I'm saying that they need to get some a cornerback help. For all I know, they'll probably go out there and pull somebody in on the offensive side of the ball. It's real interesting. Listen to what Thomas Dimitroff had to say about how they go about selecting somebody in a draft.
And you may have 2, 3, 4, or 5 needs. If there's your number one need, the talent is significantly lower, then you're going to look to the other point of need and see where that player is on the board. And that's the one that, you know, ultimately you're hoping to pick.
Yeah, well, to me, that sounds like you're pretty much hedging your bets. Anything that happens, happens. You know, you're not going to get too much information out of any general manager, out of anybody who's presiding over an organization. Everybody's holding their cards close to the sleeve right now, unless you're the Oakland Raiders and, you know, you're run by Gruden and you just decide to fire the entire scouting department right before the draft. So you're not going to get too much information out of the Falcons right now, but I think they got to go defense, plain and simple. Get somebody to help on the line with Grady Jarrett, or get a cornerback who can actually show up and help. You don't know what you're going to get out of Isaiah Oliver and Trufant. Hey, his best days may actually be behind him. Call up. Let me know what you think. 404-741-0929. What do the Falcons need to do in the draft? I see you out there, Josh. We're going to get to your calls after this. It's JR on 92.9 The Game. It's JR here with you on 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Sports Radio. We're talking about the NFL draft. What do the Falcons need to do to improve upon that 7-9 record? I say go ahead and add some defense. The offense, despite its injuries, they were okay. They're going to be healthy. Devontae Freeman is going to be healthy. They've made some additions through free agency on the offensive line. I think they need to go defense. What do you think? Let me know. You can call us up 404-741-0929. 404-741-0929 is JR here on The Game. Let's go to the phones. We got Josh on the line here from Atlanta. And Josh, okay. Josh, I think we still got him. Josh fell off. Josh, if you get a chance, call us back. You know, I've been.
I'm not here.
Oh, you're still there, Josh?
Yes, sir.
What's going on with that phone, my man? We got dial tone, and that was it. Easter Bunny. What happened?
Hey, listen, man. Hey, that's your problem, not mine.
Oh, we. You know what? I'm a put the blame on the Easter Bunny. You know they be doing some wild things, man. But you got to fill me in. What do you think about the Falcons and what they need to do on Thursday?
Well, first off, man, I've never heard you on the radio before, JL. This is pretty good stuff, man. I appreciate the commentary.
No doubt about it. Thank you.
And you've covered the Bulldogs, the Braves, the Falcons, you're talking about the Hawks. But let's go for two things real quick that I want to touch on. Braves and Falcons, right? So I agree with you in terms of the defensive side with the Falcons. But my whole thing is this. I don't care where we draft or how we draft, just draft up front. You know, if you want to get an offensive lineman, get an offensive lineman, get a defensive lineman. We've always been weak in that category. You know, and so you know, let's get up front. Let's get heavy. As far as the Braves are concerned,
well, before you go on to the Braves, and we see what's going on, with Josh Donaldson, he knocked up a home run. You know, this is the philosophy, I think, when you have the Falcons. You want to have young players that you can draft and develop, but because they play a lot of indoor games, you're going to go with dudes who tend to be a little bit more athletic, who can be a little bit quicker. I mean, Grady Jarrett is a big man. Mm-hmm. I mean, he could snap. He can snap me in half if he wants. But in the NFL, it's not like he's a giant monster. He's one of the greatest players. So I understand what you're saying, that they need to go ahead and add beef. And that's why I think I wouldn't be too upset if the Falcons did add some players up front. I agree with you on that.
And what do you put any value on Dan Quinn taking over the defensive play calls? Because in my opinion, that's got to add some value to what the defense can do in terms of how he drafts.
Well, you know what? The whole point in bringing Dan Quinn over was to hope that he can replicate some type of the success. And I'm not even going to say some type, the success that they had in Seattle and going to help and moving that defense toward being championship caliber. That's why Dan Quinn is here. The other reason as to why he took over, come on, baby, that neck is on the line. You know, they got an extension, him and Dimitroff, that lasts them into 2022. But I must tell you, if there isn't some type of improvement, if the squad doesn't get better, it's going to be a tricky situation in seeing them actually stick around to collect all of those money. What's your quick thought on the Braves?
Yeah, no doubt about it. Real quick on the Braves, and I'll just hang up and listen. Will this ownership group spend the money it takes to bring in the people we need? I don't care if we're talking about relievers, starters. You know, offense is great, like you said earlier. But let's go back to when the Braves were awesome. Ted Turner was not afraid to drop a dime, right? Liberty, whoever owns us now.
Liberty Media.
Spend some money. Spend some money, man. Love the show, JR.
Nah, thank you so much, Josh. Appreciate you. Thank you for hopping on the line. That's what happens when you have a big company running a baseball club. This isn't Mr. Ted Turner where he's just like, well, who do we want here? How much does it cost? Let's go ahead and, you know, write the check. Okay, let's get Mr. Brian Jordan paid. How much do we have to pay here, you know, to bring in Mr. Maddox? This is not what it is right now. They're not going to publicly say it, but the Braves are under corporate budget. It's no different than going to work and figuring out the payroll. Somebody got to get paid. We don't have room for this person. And no, we're not paying for it because the budget doesn't say we can or we don't want to. And that's exactly what it is with the Braves right now. We can crow about who they need to bring in and how much money needs to be spent. But right now, the Braves are who they are. They're owned by big corporation and Liberty Media. That's what it is. Let's get back to chatting it up real fast with some of the football here and what the Falcons need to go about doing this upcoming Thursday. Let's check in with Mike calling in from Duluth. Mike, what do you think the Falcons need to do?
Win the Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, we missed that boat, unfortunately.
I know. But, you know, all of this, what they're going to do. Look, win the damn Super Bowl. That'll put the hammer down on all these little questions, offense, defense, whatever. Win the Super Bowl, and all the sins will be forgiven. They don't win this year, that 28-3 is going to hang around for a long time. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Mike, listen, Mike is a man of few words. He gets right to the point. I ain't mad at him. Go ahead and win a Super Bowl. Well, Mike, come on, man. We got a few points that we got to actually do to get there first. And that's starting off with the draft. So, yeah, win the Super Bowl. That would have been nice a couple of seasons ago. Let's not reopen that wound. Man, I try to avoid talking about the Patriots again, and you just had to go ahead and bring them up. Thanks a whole lot. And shout outs to Mike from Duluth. Just won the Super Bowl. Let's check in with Jack from Johns Creek. He has some thoughts on the Falcons. Hey, Jack, what do they need to do Thursday in the draft to hopefully get back to the Super Bowl? How about that, Jack?
You know, I want to disagree with one thing you said about Freeman. He played 6 plays last year. What makes you think he's healthy?
You know, basically, when you have a core injury, And this is why I prefaced it and compared it to the defensive side of the ball. You know, regardless of whether you want to call it a hernia or a tear, having played in those 6 games, I'm going to say that you basically had more than a year off. And we know.
I agree with you, but I'm just saying, if he takes another good hit, and I tweeted you this, man, he's through. Who do we have besides him? You can't go out there and just be a one-trick pony with Matt Ryan and Julio and everybody. You got to have a running game.
Listen,
I just don't understand why you don't have a Franco Harris or somebody back there, man.
So
he takes another good hit, what are we going to do?
So out of every option that they have in the NFL draft, you're looking at running back? I understand the depth. Hey. I understand the size. I understand the opportunity of saying, okay, between Devontae and Ito, these are two small backs. But when you look at the totality, when you look at the totality of the team, Jack, you would go with a running back in that 14 slot?
I know, but didn't you just say that they brought in some veterans on the offensive line or the defensive side already?
I said that they Jack, and thank you for calling. Well, I appreciate you calling up, Jack, but that's not what I said. I said they were able to bring in some veterans on the offensive side of the ball. They need to work on the defensive side of the ball. You brought to the attention what I said about Devontae Freeman. It's the game of football. Players are going to go out there. Unfortunately, folks are going to come down hurt. That's the nature of the game. This is professional football. They're not out there playing jump rope with tiddlywinks. You could sprain your ankle jumping rope outside. So I'm going to give Devontae Freeman some type of credit. The fact that he didn't play the majority of the season, that he's had time to come back fresh. We can play the game of, you know, Matt Ryan goes outside, steps on a crack, and God forbid, he sprains his ankle. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to look at the totality of the team, and I'm going to say the offense will be all right. They need to do some work on the defensive side of the ball. I'm up against the break, but I do want to get Ralph from Riverdale on the line. Hey, Ralph, what do you think the Falcons need to do with the draft?
Actually, this is Chuck from Griffin.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, Chuck. I clicked the wrong button, man. Go ahead, Chuck.
Well, I mean, it seems like we have an ongoing theme ever since Dan Quinn took over, as well as the general manager that we have. They have never taken care of the offensive line. I think the reason why Devontae Freeman has been so often injured is the fact that we have a subpar offensive line, and they're constantly putting a Band-Aid on a gaping wound. I'm hoping that at some point in time that somebody will either knock them in the head or we may just have to have a change. Now, mind you, this is coming from a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, but on the outside looking in, when you have a glaring weakness that is year in and year out and has never been addressed and has never been changed, somebody's got to be held accountable to the fact that you've just been blinded to the fact that one of your worst things that you have is a consistent offensive line that can open holes for your running backs. Devontae Freeman's a fantastic running back, but he's been off injured because of a horrible offensive line.
Appreciate you calling up, Chuck. Thank you so much. You don't tell no lies there, but I do think we can't underestimate James Carpenter and Jamon Brown. I think Falcons fans will be surprised at them. I see you on the line, Ralph. I see you, James. We're going to get to you. It's JR here on 92.9 The Game. We're going to talk a little bit more Falcons and NBA playoffs. Call up 404-741-0929. It's JR on 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The world of...
It's JR here with you on 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Sports Radio. Dwayne is taking over at 8, but I am still here. You can find me online at 929 The Game. You could also hit me up anytime at JR Sport Brief. Okay? I check my messages, I read them, so that's no problem where you can find me. We're talking Falcons. We know the draft is coming up starting on Thursday. People have their opinions. Do the Falcons go offense? Do the Falcons go defense? And I got to dispel something that was said to me from one of our last callers. And I see you, Ralph. I see you, James. We're going to get you on the line. Let's talk about running backs real quick. You know, we can say, you know, Devontae Freeman is injury prone. Last year, he's fought and played through the injuries since he's come into the league in 2014. He's fought and played. Last year, he played 2 games. Okay. You rip your groin and you have a core muscle injury and you tell me how you end up playing. I'm not going to discount him and say all of a sudden that he doesn't play. That's a tough man right there. I had the opportunity to really speak to him. I'm glad to say it. I was one of the first people to ever interview him when he initially got drafted. Okay, I was able to chat with him. He's not a big man. And we know running backs, you have a short shelf life. They come, they go, they try to use you, get what they can out of you. I think because he didn't necessarily take that pounding last year, he was able to rehab the injury. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that Devontae Freeman is going to come back and be healthy this upcoming season. All right. We know Tevin Coleman, he's out in San Francisco right now. Jerick McKinnon, you know, he went out there last year towards ACL. Tevin Coleman is going to run the charge there. It boils down to Devontae Freeman, Ito Smith, and what happens between the two of them. I'm going to give Freeman some credit. And I'm also going to say in the later rounds of the draft, it wouldn't surprise me. I would expect the Falcons to go ahead and actually draft somebody to come out of the backfield and play running back. Cue up Elijah Holyfield, maybe. We will see. But let's get back to the phones. We're going to take your calls, what we got here. Let's check in with Ralph from Riverdale. Ralph.
Hey, hey, how's it going?
I'm well, man. What do you think about the Falcons? What do they need to do on Thursday?
On Thursday, what I think they need to do, I think the safest thing they need to do would be to go defensive line. Preferably, if that guy from Clemson is there, Christian Wilkins, if he's there, they need to go for him. Because I think he can be more of a run stopper, and he's good on the edge. And then in the second round, I believe they should go offensive line. Or if they swap positions of how they do it, as long as they go first and second round. But I just have one thing to say. Then after that, I'll get off the phone, and I want to hear what you have to think about it. Okay. I don't know if you know, but I've noticed we have three outdoor games next year. We have a game in Carolina, of course, and Tampa Bay. And
in San Francisco.
In the beautiful weather in San Francisco. So I think that might work toward our advantage toward the end. I'll hang up and I'll just listen to what you have to say.
Absolutely. All right, thank you, Ralph. I appreciate it. And that lends itself to what I said right before our break. The Atlanta Falcons are built for speed. They're built for athleticism. You can say that they've got their behinds handed to them a few times, because they don't have that toughness, and they don't have that size up front in the trenches. I don't care if you're talking about on the offensive line and definitely the defensive line. The name of the game when you play inside, when you're playing in nice weather, is speed. That's what it boils down to, speed, athleticism. So, yes, and when you look at what they have with San Francisco and going out to Tampa Bay and playing in Carolina in November 17th, it shouldn't necessarily be all that cold. That's definitely to their advantage. They're built to play indoors. They're built for speed. Hopefully they can add some beef up front on the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball to compete. But I agree with you. They got to go defense. The Falcons have to go defense if they want to compete. The offense is going to put up points. And if it doesn't happen, hit me up. Just say, JR, you were wrong. I got no problem eating crow. That's no problem with me. We got James from Griffin here on the line. James has been holding for a minute here. James, what are your thoughts on what the Falcons need to do?
Man, I'll be honest with you. You know, looking back on the last couple drafts, some of the best players that they've gotten out of the draft have been in the later rounds defensively. You got Grady Jarrett, you've got Campbell, you've got KV. Those guys all came later than the fourth round. Now, personally, I've been watching this offensive line be like a tire with holes in it. They just keep plugging and trying to plug it, trying to fix it, trying to fix it, and it doesn't work. It doesn't hold up. I think that they need to go with an offensive lineman, draft a guy that can be your center point when Alex Mack is done, because he's getting towards that point where we have to start thinking about that. And then get a defensive guy in the later rounds, because you've been good at that throughout the entire tenure of Dimitroff and Quinn.
I got you, James. Thank you for calling up. This is what it boils down to, James. You got to milk what you got when you have it. And when I'm talking about milking, I'm talking about Matt Ryan. He's about to be 34 years old. They're not thinking all the way down the line. You hit the nail on the head when you're talking about plugging up particular spots. And that's something the Falcons did in free agency recently, bringing in a James Carpenter and a Jamon Brown to go ahead and plug those spots. We're talking about a team that played in the Super Bowl two Super Bowls ago. They didn't get the job done, sorry to say it, but from then on, they have to plug these holes. The rope and the line that Dan Quinn has, that Thomas Dimitroff has, it's not going to be there forever. They may have those extensions that last them up until 2022, but at the end of the day, they need to worry about their behinds now, otherwise they won't be around to see for the future. So that's what you have to do. You got to plug those holes in hopes that you can stick things out and improve. It's tough. Nobody goes to the Super Bowl every single year. You got to strike when you can. And while the Falcons do have that quarterback, while they do have an Alex Mack and a Matthews on the line, you do want to try and get as much winning out of everybody while they're in their prime as you can. Because let's face it, if the Falcons don't do some serious winning over the next, shoot, 2 or 3 years, that window is closed. Then we're really in the trenches. And forget talking about, okay, we need to get somebody on the defensive line. We need to get somebody on the offensive line. Then you're talking about, okay, what do we do for the next 10 years at quarterback? That's a serious issue that we have to talk about. We got Cortland on the line from Fayetteville. Hey, Cortland, what's going on? Cortland, you still on the line, my man?
Hey, this is Nick in Tequila.
Oh, sorry about that, Nick. What's on your mind with the Falcons?
Hey. No, no worries. You know, I like what they've done on the offensive line and free agency. You know, I think people forget their Super Bowl year. This scheme is about cohesiveness and consistency and playing together. And that offensive line was not full of superstars, but they didn't miss a game together throughout the whole year. So I'd like to see them go big on the D-line in the draft, and I think we're going to be just fine on the offensive line if we can have a cohesive unit for the entirety of the season.
I appreciate the call, Nick. Thank you so much. That's what it boils down to. We got Cortland from Fayetteville. We're up against the break, Cortland, but I do want to get you on and get your comments. Cortland, what they need to do in the draft?
They've got one choice here, and that's defensive line. Last year, I got so sick and tired of seeing 20 different combinations on that defensive line. You had T-Mac in there. You had Jack Crawford in there. Then you had Bruce Irvin late in the year. You had DJ Sonata in there. We need to solidify that defensive line with four studs.
Everybody
go Christian Wilkins and call it a day.
Did everybody play it on a defensive line except for you and me? They need to give us a shot, right? Cortland, he didn't get the joke. Cortland disappeared. I appreciate that. Listen, folks, I'm getting ready to make way for my main man, Dwayne, in a few minutes. It's JR holding it down on 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Sports Radio. Oh, man, before I get out of here, I got to talk about some fighting. I know it's Easter, and we don't want to be too violent. It's all about family. But I got to talk about Terrence Crawford and Amir Khan before I get out of here. And then Clarissa Shields, she made some interesting comments last week as well about fighting dudes. It's 92.9 The Game. It's JR holding. Yep, it's JR here on 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Sports Radio. My time is coming to a close in a few minutes. I appreciate y'all for spending a part of your Easter Sunday with me. Hopefully you save me some scraps at 92.9 The Game on all social media. If you want to get at me, you can find me online, on Twitter, on Facebook, on YouTube, at JR Sport Brief. That's how it goes down. And I know it's Easter Sunday. It's time to be hanging out with your family and showing them some love. But I got to talk about some boxing real quick. First of all, last night, Terrence Crawford went out there and, you know, Amir Khan basically quit in the welterweight fight. He got hit in the groin and Amir Khan was like, I got paid $5 million. I'm not getting up again to get hit. And the fight that we all hope to see is Terrence Crawford going against Errol Spence. Let's see if that happens in the welterweight division. But I want to leave you all with a clip from earlier this week. Clarissa Shields, one of the baddest boxers. This entire clip just, I laugh every time I hear it. I'm not going to be too mad at her. Last week, she beat Christina Hammer. She's still undefeated. But now she was asked, basically, if she could go out and beat some of the top men in the welterweight division. Clarissa's about 5'8", 5'9", 160 pounds. And she was talking about folks like Sean Porter. He's talking about Keith Thurman, you know, welterweights. And she said, yeah, I could take him on. Just listen to this clip.
They always say, oh, you know, a woman can't beat a man. I spar with men. I drop men. I bust men's nose. I beat men up all the time. Power for power isn't a question because what is boxing? Boxing is a sweet science. It's not about strength. I'm not going to say I'm stronger than them, but if I set up the right shot with the right timing.
Listen, I ain't trying to see Clarissa Shields. If you're sitting with her on Easter dinner and she wants the last piece of whatever it is, you let her have it. I ain't trying to see Clarissa Shields. It's JR holding it down for you on 92.9 The Game. I am up on out of here making way for my main man, Dwayne. But before we get to that, my man Julian is here with the sports update. Hit me up at 92.9 The Game at JR Sport Brief. I'm gone, folks.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.